I tell you, I was pressing into that. I want to know, I want to know, I want to go, I want to go. I want to become all that I was destined to be. You know, the Word of God says that even before we were knitted in our mother's womb, He knew us. Even before. See, we think we became as we were being knitted in our mother's womb, but we were actually before. He knew us before. And it says that He wrote the days of our life on the scroll. All the days of our life were written. And I'm telling you what, I've got a hold of something over the last few weeks that I'm going to live to and see the goodness of God and the land of the living. And I'm not giving up this life until I have done everything that He purposed and wrote in my scroll. I want to be all, and I'm praying that we all become so full of the fire of God and the hunger for the passion and desire of Him, that we would desire that too. Because then the earth will be consumed and full of the glory. It only comes through people like us. It comes through His people who hunger and thirst to burn for Him. My husband's shaking his head no. I'm like, what's no? He's fighting with his Facebook Live, I think. I want to, as we prepare for the offering, there are offering envelopes in front of you. If you want to give by cash or check, we do have a PayPal link. No, I don't have the PayPal link. I forgot.
That's okay. Yeah, last week, I don't know why I did it, but it confused my personal PayPal with the church's. And somehow, a couple years ago, it put my name on there instead of Arise Church and the church's. But we have gone through some steps to make sure that doesn't happen again. And so if you pay by PayPal, which I would prefer you just use Tithely because it's automatically deposited into the account. It's really neat system. And there is a QR code for it. But if you want to use PayPal, search for Agape Faith Ministries, which is a long name, but it's the legal name that we have kept all these years. So anyway, thank you for your support.
And next week, I will have the PayPal QR code up here for those who want to give by PayPal. Tithely is so much easier for us, but we appreciate all that you give and all that you want to give and all that you want to do. I want to acknowledge that we've got Thomas in the sound booth. Woo! Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for help. I put out an announcement a couple of weeks ago that we need help in sound. I need help for 1 week in the nursery. We need help for 1 week in children's church. And Thomas rose to the occasion. Man of God, we are appreciative of you. And he's doing a great job back there. Growing up with God, y'all waiting on the offering. Let me pray for that first. And I want to pray for Stacy and Ray who are out. Pray for Cindy. We're going to pray for Mr. Raymond in just a minute as well. Why don't we just lay hands on Mr. Raymond right now? Those of you that feel led to go and lay hands on him. He's got swelling in his body. He's fighting. We're not sure what the swelling is coming from, but God knows. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we take our position in the name of Jesus. We are your sons and daughters that inhabit your power and your glory and your authority. And so with that authority, just like you speak life, we speak life from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. We command the swelling to go down. We command the kidneys and the liver to function the way they're created to function. We call those blood vessels in his legs and body to flush out the toxins, Father. We thank you, God, that you align that body the way you created it to be aligned in perfect health by your name, Jesus, through what you did. We thank you that you've given us the power and we align ourselves with you as your distributors of your glory, as your distributors of your healing on this planet. And for our brother that we love so dearly, who's been with us so many years, faithful has been Mr. Raymond. We speak life, every organ system to function the way it was created to function. We speak life and health to Stacy and to Ray. For recuperation of Ray and his knee surgery, we speak quick healing, fast healing. For those in this congregation that need strength to their body, I release kingdom strength. Kingdom strength to your heart, to your muscles, to your bones, to your mind, to your emotions. For you are an all-encompassing God. You created us, three-part beings. And you minister and heal all three parts of us. You took our pain and our shame and set our spirits free. And we call all of our bodies in alignment to agree with your heaven on earth, with your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth, this body created from earth. Rest on us. Rule in us. We bless you, Father. We worship you. We worship with our voices. We worship you with our lives. And we worship you with our giving this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Growing up with God, Sean Bolts, the kids 4 to 12, they're teaching back there how God wants to be friends with us, how he loves us and wants to love people through us. The world needs love, y'all. World doesn't need judgment. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world. So if Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, I can promise you he hadn't called you to or me to. He wants us to love. So we're teaching our little ones how to love people and how to love them for Jesus through us. How to recognize the voice of God in their life. Do you know how important that is? So many adults don't even know how to recognize the voice of God in their life. If we can teach our little ones to start following the voice of God at 4 and 5 and 6, when they get 14, 15, and 16, they will hear his direction and his saving call to keep them from the things this world tries to pull on them. Amen. And when they're 24, 25, and 26, and they're growing into grown adults, they will have been following him for 20 years, listening to his voice, drawing near to him, following his path for their life. Because there is no junior Holy Spirit. The same big, big Holy Spirit that lives on the side of you lives on the inside of a newborn, lives on the side of a four-year-old. I'm thankful for Becky and those who want to raise up a next generation. They're also teaching them how to have a revelatory relationship with God. In worship this morning, I started singing that prophetically. I haven't ever heard that sung. I want to go, I want to go, I want to know, I want to know. And people were getting revelation from the spirit realm. We're teaching our babies how to have a revelatory relationship with the Holy Spirit and how to walk by the Spirit. Amen. So if you know any children, 4 to 12, that don't go to church anywhere, invite them to this place so that they can grow into who they were called to be, just like we all are. This morning, Pastor's continuing on with shifting seasons. It's all the way through October on Sundays. All of our announcements are on Facebook and on our website, arisechurch.cc. I still would like two helpers to help me in the nursery so that I can sit in here one Sunday a month. So if you would like to be in the nursery one Sunday a month and help with that, please see me. And also, we want to grow people into kids ministry that can help in kids ministry so that Becky can be in here at least one Sunday a month as well. On October 26th, Susan, who has a ride every Sunday through Catherine, which is such a blessing to us, but Catherine will not be here. And so I need someone who will pick up Susan. Pastor is usually in his office studying. I'm in worship and in intercessory prayer. We are the body of Christ. We are the body, and she is a part of us. And so I really need someone right now to tell me who's going to pick up Susan on October 26th. Is there anybody that can drive by? Thank you. Thank you very much. Mary's going to pick you up. Thank you very much. I hate to do it that way, but if I don't, then it gets gone and I'm in the nursery and I don't get to see people and you mean to tell me and it doesn't happen. So anyway, we love you guys. We are participatory people. We are to participate with the Spirit. We co-labor with the Spirit out there and in here. And you are needed. Amen. Carrie. Oh, Carrie has a testimony. I didn't know. Come on up, Carrie. My friend. You look so beautiful.
Love you. I love you too. Reason Karen didn't know is because this wasn't scheduled.
That's okay.
But something happened this morning. Miss Frances walked over to me after worship, and she said she had a word for me. And I've known Miss Frances since I've been going to this church, so I know when her, Miss Rose, or somebody has a word, it's always from the Lord. And so she started speaking to me, and she said, "I just saw heaviness lift off of you." And I was just smiling while she was saying that, because during worship, and she didn't know, during worship, let me back up a few steps before that. Not quite 2 weeks ago, on the 30th of September, I had a heart attack. And surprise to me, because not for my age, I'm a pretty healthy individual. And so, you know, it was just a shocker. And they ended up putting two stents in, and I'm healing. But I'm especially received a healing touch this morning, because it was real hard for me to stand up this morning for any length of time. And plus, I was getting really winded, too. I've been home ever since that heart attack healing, and so I haven't gotten my stamina built up yet. But during one of the songs is when I felt compelled to stand back up. And when I did, I felt compelled to put my hand on my heart. And I just continued to worship him. And I believe he was working a healing, because when Miss Frances came and said to me, I felt a heaviness lift off of you, I knew what it was. I kind of think she thought it was like maybe an emotional or mental heaviness. So she didn't know. But that's what it was, is because I feel a lot better right now standing here than I did when I walked in this morning. So I just want to praise God, give him the glory. And one more thing that came to me so strongly during worship was I was singing the phrase, "My ways can be your ways." And that was Jesus saying to us, "My ways can be your ways." We need to understand that we can be like him. We can be like him, and he wants us to be. So anyway, that's what happened this morning. So if any of y'all have any kind of a need while we're worshiping, you don't even have to have somebody come and pray over you or lay hands on you. You can just tap into God, and he can do whatever he needs to do. He did that for me this morning.
Woohoo! Yes, Lord!
So you're going to the nursery? It's good because I can say things while you're not here. Open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Bye, Liam. Bye, Laura. Bye, Penelope. Man, you guys all right today? All right. So, of course, I'm not starting in Matthew, but that's where we're going to go. So just hang on, okay? Jesus, we've been talking about shifting seasons for one Sunday, right? Today's the second Sunday of October. It feels like October has been going for years. What's wrong with me? Anyway, I do love October. Every time I look at that graphic, the backgrounds that Becky selects to put behind the music, man, y'all didn't tell her thank you. I mean, because she changes with the seasons, right? Yeah, there's some of the flowery ones I really don't like, you know. But the rest of them are all amazing, you know. I do love that bench in the middle of the tulips, though. We'll see it in the spring, I'm sure. So Jesus has been resurrected, okay? Right? He is resurrected. Before I start, because this is about a season, this is about shifting seasons, but it fascinates me. Of course, you know, my mind is so small, it doesn't take much to fascinate me. But when I think about in the time zone that you and I are in, by the time we are in worship, say, worshiping, devoting our hearts to God at 10:30, yeah. In the Pacific, it started 19 hours before that. Just west of Hawaii, the new day starts sometime, somewhere between Hawaii and, let's say, Japan. I forget the name of the islands, but they're 19 hours ahead of us. Y'all called me in, didn't you? So anyway, it fascinates me that when the new day starts, before we begin to worship God in central United States, people have been worshiping God for 19 hours. I mean, it's actually 5:30 Monday morning over there, or 5:45, or maybe even 6 now. I don't know what time it is, it's 6:20 there. It's 11:19. Huh. Anyway, it's just fascinating to me that as the earth rotates and day breaks, people are worshiping God all over the planet. I don't know. It's always just grabbed me because it's a new day. It's a new season. You know, I think about the resurrection morning of Jesus. When that day broke, it changed everything. It was a new day that is still today. Amen? It was a new heaven. It was a new earth. It was a completely different cosmos. So Jesus is resurrected, okay? In Acts 1, and the disciples are talking to him because he's on the Mount of Olives about to ascend, right? And so, starting in verse 6, it says, "So when they had come together, the disciples asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And Jesus said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times nor the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" Amen? The part I want to get fixated on in your mind is the times and the seasons the Father has fixed. I don't know about you, but if my days are in the hands of Abba, I can trust him with my days, right? I can trust him with my time. Because sometimes we're in seasons and we don't want to be in that season, you know? It's like when we're in the middle of summer and it's 109 degrees outside with a heat index of whatever it is and humidity's high. I'd rather it be less than that, okay? I used to say I wish it would just be zero, but now when it gets close to zero in January, I'm not really fond of it very much. So yeah, you really have to watch what you say sometimes, you know, right? So, but it's good to have our seasons fixed. It's good to reckon that our seasons are fixed. You know, if you're going through something, that's good because you're going through it. You're not camping out there. You're not living there. You're going to move through it. God is going to keep leading you through. The psalmist wrote, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not as I sleep in the shadow of death. Can't even speak today. But it's about movement. And God has fixed that movement for us. It just requires trust, right? You guys okay? In Hebrews 11, there's a in the great chapter of faith, there's a woman in there, Sarah, in verse 11 of chapter 11. It says, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive. And even when she was like in her 90s, I'm in my 60s, and my wife is barely 60, and I don't want her to conceive. You don't want no babies, no. Even when Sarah was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. I love how it says it. It says that in the time, the word for time there is kairos. It's not chronos, but kairos. Both are Greek words. Chronos is where we get the word chronology from, right? We're just calculating time. Kairos has an element of expectation, an element of potential, an element of there's something happening right here, right now. This is not just another day. This is a new season in my life. This is something that God is moving me toward. She reckoned, she acknowledged, Sarah did, that this was an opportune time, that even in her 90s, the power of God was more than any power that had ever been in her life before, because she never conceived until that moment. It changed her entire life. It changed her husband's life. It changed the whole story of Israel. We need to reckon that we live in a kairos moment, that we live in an opportune time, that we live in a time that God is moving, that God is, I mean, Christians all over the planet are like, good gracious, we just missed a great time to have the rapture. When was that? September the 23rd, they were saying? There was a guy in South Africa that said it. People always say it. Every time one of the fall feasts comes around, they're always saying, we're going to escape. Jesus is going to come get us, and we're going to leave this old world behind. When Jesus put here, he just said it to these disciples. He said, I'm going to give you power, and you're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and all over the world. Right? Amen. Because God, I mean, it is his earth. That's what the Bible says. It says this, that the earth belongs to the Lord. We don't feel like it sometimes, does it? You know, I bet there's a whole lot of people all across this planet that don't feel like God's got this earth. Because it's a tough time sometimes, yeah? You guys all right today? But if believers would reckon the time, if we would see it as a kairos moment, if we would see I'll tell you one of the stupidest things I've ever done. Karen was in labor with our firstborn. And I was trying to make her laugh, you know? She really didn't have a lot of pain or pressure in the other two, but the first one was pretty severe, and it was the longest labor also. So I got across the room, and I just faced her, and I held up my hand like a catcher's mitt, right? And I patted my hand like, come on. Push that boy out, you know? And I was thinking, Robert, that she would smile, but she did not smile. She pulled a Bill Cosby wife on me and said, "You get out. Where are you going? You come back here." You know, but it was an opportune moment. But it was a lot of pressure, and there was a lot of pain. It was not an enjoyable moment. But at the same time, it was a memorable moment, because new life was being birthed into the world. You and I need to look at our lives like this, with the expectation of someone who is carrying, who has seed deposited inside of them. The seed of the Word of God inside of us. That God is saying, "I watch over my Word to make sure that it comes to pass." You know, there's a lot of sometimes I feel like there should be the gift of the Spirit of expectation, because we live in an expectation time. The nation of Israel, after they came back from the exile and they were still under foreign, dominated by foreign powers, all the way to 1948. But they had an expectation of a Messiah. They had an expectation of a final exile, of a final exodus, a final exodus out of that oppression and into what God wanted for them as a people. We inherited that as believers. And it happens in the seasons that we live through in our lives, that we go through every year that we're breathing. It's a season. It's just that there needs to be an awakening of an expectation of hope in believers. Because when believers despair, when believers see things negatively, when believers don't filter things through faith and through what God is doing in the moment, what God will do in the long run. That's why it's good to think, you know, I'm in here, I'm in this life, I live in this city, and I have to deal with what I've got to deal with, but at the same time, I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places. And there's this entanglement between where I am and where I am. There's no better way to say it. From where I am and where I am. And there is a disconnect sometimes in our mind. And we need to be reminded that we need to focus that God is God. That His power is unlimited. That His love is undiminished. You guys all right? Don't worry, I'm gonna be quick. Is that okay? Matthew 15. You guys looking at it in 21? Let me give you a little bit of background. Jesus is traveling, and he's getting away from the Pharisees, because they're getting riled up. Not just the Pharisees, but the Jewish rulers in Jerusalem and the various synagogues where Jesus had been ministering at. And so he took his disciples out of Judea, out of Galilee, to the western coast to the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and then he took them north, where the cities of Tyre and Sidon were at. And so he's up there. There are very few Jewish people up there. It's Mark, in his version of the story in Mark chapter 7, he calls this woman that we're about to talk to a Syrophoenician. And in Matthew, she's a Canaanite. So I don't know. But it's the same woman. It's just they just had different classifications for her, I guess. But it was a Gentile place. Let me just put it that way. It was a Gentile nation. It was a Gentile region that had been under Roman control the same time when General Pompey invaded Judea. But so Jesus is walking him up there, and he says, Jesus went on his way and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he didn't answer a word. Anybody ever got that response from God? He didn't answer her a word. And the disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." But she came and knelt before him. She stopped his forward progress. It's not in there. I'm narrating, right? She knelt before him saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Wow. She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And Jesus answered the woman, "Great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed immediately. Now, in this little short story here, you have to appreciate the moment that Jesus is leading his disciples away from the lost sheep of Israel, except for the people that were following him, right? I'm assuming the women that followed him and the 12 disciples that were following him. And so he leads them to this region that it's not known for its Jewish population. It's mostly a Greek population by now, but at this time. And so you've got to think that Jesus is showing these guys something, that he's teaching these people something else. He's not just walking up here just to be walking. He's not just, you know, on a hike. He has a purpose in what he's doing. And this woman is making so much noise that the disciples, if you will, are saying, "Hey, please tell her to shut up. We can't think with this woman talking. Can you just send her away?" I mean, can you imagine? I mean, because people that won't be quiet, they're an inconvenience to all the people that want something else going on. And I don't know. And maybe she was making so much noise, Peter couldn't think what he wanted to say. But they were upset. They didn't have a good attitude about it. And to be honest with you, if Jesus had called you a dog, you wouldn't have been happy about it. Right? I mean, that's a good way to lose somebody's vote, right? Isn't it? I mean, you think, I don't think I've ever called anybody a dog. I don't think so. I'm not playing it all back in my head now, but no. But Jesus had something different in mind. He wanted to show his disciples the faith of this woman. Because it says, "I haven't seen this faith in Israel. I haven't seen this level of belief." That this woman, who Jesus' purpose was not for her, yet she reached into her future and she drew the future to her in her present. That's what we do. That's what we do. We're in the present. But presently, also, we are seated in Christ in high places. We reach into high places, and we bring heaven and kingdom down where we are. Because in the season that we're in, it takes, Karen said it, it takes us co-laboring with God for wholeness and peace to come. Are we co-laboring? Are we seeking what God wants for this moment? Are we seeking for His will to be done here? Or we're like so many believers that just want to hit the escape button and bail out? It's about bringing the next season in. Exactly, Susan. This scripture God gave me Well, I was praying about coming to Mountain View 16 years ago in September. We had come up here, and I just want you to know, I came on a Wednesday night, and they had like, we had like seven people because it was fair night. We all forgot that it was going to be fair night, but it was still, it was a good night. Nancy Thompson, y'all remember Nancy? How can you forget Nancy? She could remember the whole sermon that I preached that night. She came way up in my book, way up. But the scripture in Amos, it says, "Behold, the days are coming." Now remember, Amos lived in the 8th century. The northern kingdom was still existing, and the southern kingdom of Judah was there with the temple, but nobody was serving God. Neither of the kingdoms, the two nations of Israel, were serving God. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes who sows the seed. The mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine. They shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I've given them." It just captured my whole imagination that a plowman would overtake the reaper. Do you know what would happen? What has to happen for someone breaking new ground to overtake someone who's bringing in the harvest? The harvest has had to be so big that it is pushed itself into a whole new season. It has gone from late summer and it's early spring, and the plowman is overtaking because they're still harvesting what God has brought in and blessed, and it has been so bountiful that it's time to plant before they get everything else pulled in. That's the kind of seasons that you and I should be praying for. That we would be harvesting the blessings of God, not only in our life, but in this nation and in this world and on this earth, that all peoples would be blessed by who God is and what God does. Because the seasons are fixed by Abba. They're fixed by Daddy God. They're fixed by Papa. They're fixed by the Father. They're fixed. Don't you remember in kids when you're talking to people and they're saying, "My dad can do this and my dad can do that," and you talk about how bad your gut, how big and strong your dad is, right? Next time the devil comes to you and acts like your God is puny. I love that scripture that says that at the end, people are going to look at the enemy and go, "What? This is the guy who caused so much trouble? This guy?" Do you have a big devil or a big God? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, right? Yeah. So, in closing, there was a loud hosanna. I know it's quick, but we need a quick word once in a while. Sometimes we just need to hear, "Get up and go." Amen? That's what the woman was singing today. "I want to go." Right? Psalms 31 says this, "My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me with your steadfast love." Man, when you pray over the season that you're in, when you are wanting just to explode to get out of it. Ladies, those of you who have had children, men who have been married to pregnant women, you know that it's the ninth month, but it seems like it's the 11 and a half inning, right? The 12th inning. And their back hurts and they can't sleep and they don't want anything to eat and they're miserable, they're too hot, they're too cold, there's not enough to drink, She's, because it's an uncomfortable place. When we're in a season that's about to break something new, that's when it's the most uncomfortable. It's at the time of harvest that it costs the farmer the most. It's at that moment where Sarah realized that it was Kairos. Even though she didn't speak Greek, she spoke whatever she spoke. Hebrew wasn't her language then, so whatever it was. But she saw it was an opportune time that she believed God. Paul should have included her in Romans chapter 4 when he said, Abraham reckoned that God had the power to do what he promised. When a 90-year-old woman is in the 12th inning in her ninth month, that's reckoning that God has the power in that opportune moment. God, open our eyes. Father, open our ears. Open all of our senses so that we see, Lord, what you're bringing us into, and that we pray with you and believe with you and labor with you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Thank you, guys. You have a wonderful day. Be blessed.